Are there any other problems you see on the operations side with, you know, maybe some risks with software releases, logistics of capacity planning, like other, what are some other big problems with DevOps on this operations side?
Well, I think, you know, I've given a fair amount of thought to this. And, you know, once you have applications in production, there is a whole host of manageability issues that kind of come to the surface that are very important to address. You know, and I think if you want a roadmap for how to deal with all of this, it seems to me that the first thing you have to do is you have to do some very comprehensive, real-time, continuous data collection. And what that will allow you to do. And that means going to the logs. That probably means looking at packets to get a sense of not only what the important events are that are going on inside of the environment, but also, you know, what's the flow of information that's going on as well. And you stitch all of that together, and that becomes very meaningful from the standpoint of being able to support analysis. So that's kind of your starting point. From there, then there are multiple steps that you have to think about taking. And this is where it gets a little squirrely, because we don't necessarily have, you know, all of the right tools and technologies yet to go down this path. But predictive analytics is very key from the standpoint of taking a look at, okay, once we have an application running in production, you know, we need to be very sensitive to matching workload, you know, workload with capacity. And as a consequence, being able to spot issues in that mismatch between workload and capacity are very, very key. And predictive analytics gives us a tool to be able to do that better than we have to, you know, historically, go well beyond just what we can do with threshold analysis. So that's one dimension. Another dimension is optimization, which is really thinking a little bit more about what is the objective for the performance envelope for the application that is running in production. And once again, through the monitoring of what's happening in real time for the application, and then comparing that against the target for it, we can make decisions about, okay, how should we change resourcing so we can optimize the behavior of the application. So I'll stop there, because I think, you know, if you go beyond that, then it gets really crazy from the standpoint of very, you know, sophisticated analytics to be able to drive all that. But those are still both, I think, well within the grasp of most big organizations today from the standpoint of being able to deliver on.
Yeah. So if I were to throw some examples out there, I the first thing that I kind of noticed, because I'm a big fan of doing case studies these days, is that everybody I talk to has excelled in one area or another, but seldomly excelled in the entire delivery chain. So they're really good at QA, or they're really good at responding to issues, or they're incident management, or they're really good at the releases. You know, they're doing a whole bunch of releases every day, but their ability to respond is not very good. Or they have amazing functional test coverage, but they're not releasing very well. So I think that that's interesting, and I think it stems from the problem of there isn't very often a holistic point of view where they treat the pipeline as its own thing, as its own entity. At the end of the year, can you tell me, can you score your ability to deliver code? No matter what the code is, can you score your ability to deliver code over some period of time and see it go up? So that's more of kind of the broad sense of the delivery chain. But then I also think that the market is one of the big challenges with DevOps today, because I think that there's so much flying at IT managers, and there's so many considerations. We haven't talked about architecture, but the whole microservices movement implies so many things about application architecture and delivery chains and everything that it's really easy to get lost, and it's also really easy to think that the tool is going to solve the problem for you. So if I want to do microservices, is Kubernetes going to be the answer? Probably not. The other thing, when you talk about predictive analytics, the term machine learning has been beat across the head of these IT managers, without them thinking about how they're actually going to use these insights. And so I actually think that that's a really big problem, which kind of forces people into a silo and doesn't allow them to innovate.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. You know, I do think, however, when it comes to the whole predictive analytics space, I mean, I think there are important activities there. You know, we need to be able to predict workloads. We need to be able to predict when a server is going to go down. And there's lots of and the good news is that, you know, if we're real students of this real-time data collection, there's lots that we can do and lots that we will learn, and patterns of behavior that we'll be able to see as a consequence that will help us do this prediction in terms of being able to, you know, better meet SLAs or better understand, you know, how we should manage the resources in general. So.